This is the season of favoring giving over receiving. In this segment, we're looking at an organization that does both. It's the Little Bit Foundation. It may be called Little Bit, but it's performing a gigantic service for thousands of disadvantaged children in St. Louis and St. Louis County. It provides a broad range of services, from providing winter coats and other clothes to needy kids, to making health care and food available to those children. Joining me in studio to talk about the Little Bit Foundation and what it does are Rosemary Hanley, Executive Director. Lucy England is the Little Bit Foundation Volunteer Manager. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
After talking about hate for the last 30 minutes, it's nice to talk about what you guys are doing. And congratulations for what you're doing. It sounds like just a marvelous program. Rosemary, let me start with you and just give our audience some sense of the scope of what you do. I tried doing a sentence, but that's not enough.
Okay, I'd be happy to. Little Bit is 15 years this year, and we started from a simple coat drive to now serving 25 schools, 7,000 children. And we embed ourselves in the school community, and we work one-on-one with children, identifying specific needs that a child may have. So it can be anything from our most requested item, underwear and socks, all the way to eyeglasses, behavioral health. We just got word yesterday that one of our fourth school will be receiving behavioral health support, which is an embedded therapist in the school helping children that are living in crisis. So you see the realm of what Little Bit does to support a child, and education is huge. It's a wraparound service. Any need a child may have, we'll take care of that. And our goal is to increase attendance, to decrease discipline problems, and then ultimately increase a high school graduation rate, which then we have a stronger community, we have stronger adults having a positive influence on our society.
And decreasing the dropout rate, which is a huge problem in the city of St. Louis. Lucy, how do you identify the kids in need? Is it an easy thing to do?
Well, we are lucky to have, at each of our schools, we have what we call our liaison, and that's usually the social worker who is identifying the child in need and the point person at the school. So the cafeteria lady, the teachers can go to her or him and let them know what the kids need. We identify kids' shoes 3, 4, 5 sizes too small, coats are too small, or don't have a coat, holes in their pants, whatever they need, that liaison lets us know, and then we get the orders to the school.
And it's really hard to imagine, for those of us who are more fortunate, that kids go to school every day like this. I mean, they don't have underwear, or they don't have enough underwear, or socks, or things like this. It's just really hard to envision.
It's really hard to comprehend. Yeah. You know, we worry when it gets so cold like it is out today, because we know we're going to have an influx of need, whether it be food, whether it be hygiene items, and we're scrambling to get kids' coats right now. Even though we're in the schools every week and working within those schools to identify needs, when it's so cold, we know if a parent's trying to keep the heat on, the first thing that goes is hygiene. Mm-hmm. When a family is trying to keep food on the table, they may not have money for a coat. So whatever we can do to help support that piece of education, we'll do. Lucy was telling me a story today that one of our volunteers, do you want to tell
us? First of all, we are rooted by our volunteers. Without our wonderful volunteers, our mission doesn't work. Had a volunteer come in today and said that she had a hard day, saw a little boy in his shoes. They were flapping. And to make sure that we could get in today and get him a pair of shoes. The young man left, and she said she, you know, had a moment, because it's so hard to see a 7-year-old wearing shoes that are too small and that are falling apart. But we will have shoes for that young man this afternoon.
What exactly do the volunteers do? I mean, what is their role in this?
Yeah, great question. So we have volunteers. They meet down at our warehouse, and they pick up all the orders that are going to the school, to their school. We had 5 schools today, and we have volunteers assigned to those schools. So they come down to our warehouse, pick up the orders, and they go in and they make sure we work one-on-one with the child, making sure the shoes fit, making sure the shirt fits, making sure their coat fits. And we're consistent. We have the same volunteers going to the school on a weekly basis. That's what we do so well. We get to know the kids. We get embedded into the school community. We get to know the teachers.
Something I'm really proud about is a model that we've been able to create that's we can duplicate so that we can help more children and serve more schools. But this model, it does. We still have the kindness and the joy and the love and that one-on-one interaction with the child. And that is what we believe is going to last a lifetime. What we believe is that we can take care of basic needs right now, but that caring relationship, just the opposite of what we were just talking about before, can last a lifetime. And we believe that's what's changing. That's what's going to really help.
Lucy mentioned a warehouse. Things must be going okay if you've got a warehouse.
We're incredibly blessed. We're incredibly successful. As I've said, we're at 7,000 children this year that we serve, and we've been adopting 1,000 children every year, which averages about 3 schools. It's the same strategic plan next year to at least adopt another 1,000. The hard part is that there's so many kids that are in need in St. Louis and in North County in our city. We have school districts on our wait list. We have over 40 schools. So we're blessed, we're successful, we're doing a great job, but there's so much more need.
Where does the clothing that you provide these youngsters come from?
Well, Little Bit purchases uniforms, coats, shoes, everyday clothing, and backpacks. We have drives for hygiene products, school supplies, and what
socks
else?
And
socks and underwear.
Hats, gloves, and scarves. The most requested item that we give out are socks and underwear. Last year we gave out about 21,000 pair, just to give you an idea. It's the most requested item that we give out.
Where does the money come from to purchase these items?
Yeah, well, we have a development plan. We work with corporations. We write grants, family foundations. We have events, incredibly generous people in St. Louis that are supporting us and continue to support us every year. So it's working well. I wanted to mention also that we partner with other organizations and we can bring services within the schools. Mm-hmm. Into the schools. So even though we're not in the food business, we partner with Operation Food Search, and every school has a food pantry so a child won't go home hungry at night. We'll make sure they have food. We partner with the Institute for Family Medicine so that children have wellness clinics. Healthy Kids Express does all of our screenings. So we can manage all these other organizations and programs within the school to make sure every need's taken care of.
I'm sure you're familiar with, and we've done a number of programs on the For the Sake of All project, which has pointed out in very dramatic terms how important good health care is and a health environment is to these youngsters in so many different areas, not the least of which is their ability to learn and stay in school and that sort of thing. Lucy, what about the parents? You know, a lot of people have a great deal of pride.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that in terms of our parents all saying, gee, thank you, this is great, and we're so appreciative?
So many parents.
Some are too proud to accept things.
Well, you know, this is where our liaison steps in. We really don't have contact with the parents. I can tell you, though, parents do come up. I had a parent this morning. I was at one of our schools and just thanked us so much for the uniform shirts that we were giving her son. They're so grateful, and we're here to help them. Just a little bit of help goes a long way. So they're very thankful.
How many, Rosemary, how many have you helped over the years? You say 7,000 now. Do you have any sense of how many kids have been assisted by your group?
Oh, I should know this. I should know this off the top of my head.
We'll forgive you if you, okay. if you don't.
It's leaving me right now.
Yeah, quite a few. And obviously numbers in the many thousands.
Absolutely, yeah. Right.
You know, I've read some material concerning your organization, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you got started in all of this. This is your baby, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it brings a tear to one's eye to see what you discovered when you were coming into this world.
Right. It was so unknown to me. I'm happy to tell you the story. I'm really proud of it. 15 years ago, my son was playing on a soccer team, and they were doing a coat drive for St. Patrick's Center. and thousands of coats were coming through a friend of mine's basement, and I was just helping sort. And she got a call one day from an inner city school teacher saying, our kids need coats. They're either not coming to school or their arms are blue. Will you help us? And the next day, we went down to a school. We brought 170 coats to a school of 250 kids. It's crazy.
Two-thirds of the kids needed coats.
Yeah. And I was standing outside the school, and how I remember it is it was dark outside. It was about 23 degrees. I remember it being very windy, and we were ringing the doorbell, and nobody was answering that door. And I was kind of getting a little frustrated. And this beautiful little boy walked up with the biggest smile and said, my dad let me wear his coat today. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him, and he had this leather jacket with a broken zipper on, and he could not have been more beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we walked up the stairs. They finally let us in, and the arms of his coat, they were touching the steps as we were walking up. Mm-hmm. And he never stopped chatting with me. And we got up to the top, and I'm carrying a big black plastic bag full of coats, and he runs off, and I go in and start giving out coats. And who comes through that day but this beautiful little boy? Mm-hmm. And I wish I knew his name. I wish I knew where he was. But I zipped him up in a navy blue down coat. I put his hood on him, and I told him how handsome he was. And he said, my dad is going to be so happy I have my own coat. And something changed in me right then and there to know, I guess realizing that there's children in our city that don't have a coat or don't have eyeglasses or don't have food or medical care. And I knew just from the generosity that's around us that we can make a difference. Mm-hmm. And that was 15 years ago.
So this little boy was coming to school in his father's coat, I assume, which meant that his father didn't have a coat that cold day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the little boy just said his dad was going to be so proud of him and so happy that he had a coat. And
yeah.
It tells
well, congratulations. I mean, that's just such a great thing that you're doing. And
thank
now,
you.
Lucy, I read that you have boutiques in schools. I mean, this is really going the extra yard.
Our boutiques, it's a fancy name for an emergency room. And our boutiques, and we keep those boutiques fully stocked with gently used clothing. So if that young man is walking to school without a coat, he can go into our boutique and have one until his new coat comes the following week. But in that boutique, and it can be a storage room, it can be a classroom, it can be part of a library, whatever space the school has for us, that's what we stock our boutiques with. Also, hats, gloves, and scarves, hygiene items, sex and underwear. And Rose didn't mention, we also supply all of our schools with a washer and dryer. So
I wanted to mention that.
Yes. So that's also a big part of what we do.
You know, we had, before she left for Kansas, Tiffany Anderson from the Jennings School District, and she pointed out that one of the things that she did, she was the superintendent of schools there.
She was awesome.
She was absolutely awesome, and one of the things that she pointed out that was so successful for her were having washers and dryers in the school. My Lord, who would have thought that this was a necessary thing for some of these kids?
Well, I think you don't think about, or, you know, maybe whoever's doing the laundry, they don't have money to go to the laundromat. They have no way to get to the laundromat. Maybe their water's been turned off. We invite our parents to come in if they need to do laundry and then get involved in their kids' schools and stay there and, you know, volunteer to help the school out.
It's another way to build a community.
Yeah.
I was going to say it may be the only way to get some parents into the school to find out who the kids' teachers are and what's going on. Rosemary, I know another area in which you're working hard is to work on the mental health capabilities in these various schools. Tell us what that's all about and what you think is necessary.
Yeah. So as we've come to know our schools, and because we're so embedded in the community, and we've done some studies around what the biggest needs are, at the top of the list, what the schools and the teachers are asking for is support with behavioral health. What we've learned is so many of our students are living in trauma, in crisis, things that are almost incomprehensible to us, you know, seeing a death of a parent, living in a car. Incarcerated parents. And if it's our belief, and it's the school's belief, that if we can help these children that are living in crisis, if we can get them in therapy at a young age, they'll be more productive now, but also then more productive adults. So we are championing behind getting embedded therapists in all of our schools so that they can work one-on-one or through group therapy.
Lucy, Rosemary alluded to something that most people don't realize, and that is the number of homeless kids in our school system. It's extraordinary. It's stunning.
It's really sad. Kids, a lot of transient, going from, granny's house to auntie's house to a car to a shelter, not staying in one place. That's what we do so well, though, the consistency of our volunteers, that they come in and they do see us, that we, how are you? How's your day? Tell me about something good that's happening with you.
It's hard to imagine that this is going on in 21st century America. I mean, those of us who just don't see it. I want to bring in a caller, Patrick, who's been waiting to get on because he wants to make a compliment, and I think it's well-deserved. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hello, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm the family resource manager at Northside Community School. It is a charter elementary school in North City with about 400 students. And I just wanted to say that the Little Bit is just such a great, great resource for us. We have a lot of families that are in high need, whether it's clothing, food, coats, eyeglasses. We pretty much utilize everything that they offer, and we're just so very grateful to be partnered with them because they really do. They help us help our families, but they really empower me as a family resource manager to provide those resources. To have them as a resource for our family, and I can kind of facilitate that, is just a great, great opportunity.
Patrick, thanks for the call. Well,
thank you,
thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say that I agree with everything they say. The trauma is present in a lot of our kids' lives, whether it's incarcerated parents, death of a parent or a sibling, and we have a lot of transient students. So there are a lot of things said that kind of hit home with us here at Northside.
Thank you for the call. We have a tweet also from Teresa who really continues this part of the conversation. Grateful to your group for supporting students at her daughter's school, the Mann School. It makes things better for everyone, she says. And that's pretty much what Patrick was saying. When the kids who are disadvantaged are getting better and okay, it's better for everybody. In the time we have left, which is a little more than a minute, what can folks do, Rosemary, to get involved and become volunteers?
Yes. Well, we are, as Lucy said, the volunteers are the heartbeat of our success. So if anybody would like to volunteer, please look at come to our website, thelittlebitfoundation.org. We are in desperate need of socks and underwear, hats and gloves, colored pencils. What else, Lucy?
Dental kits.
Oh, dental kits. Yeah. Toothpaste.
Toothpaste.
Precisely, yeah.
We'll put a link on our website, stlpublicradio.org, to yours so folks can get to that easily. And in terms of volunteers, they can volunteer
Absolutely.
Through that same process,
Absolutely.
Right?
They can reach me at lucy@thelittlebitfoundation.org. They can also contact us at our office at 314-669-0040.
We'll put all of that in our website as well. And if folks want to drop a few bucks your way, that works too, right?
That works well.
Okay.
Thank
good.
You.
Well, I hope you have a lot of traffic. Congratulations to you all for what you do.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Don. Thanks
happy
for
holidays.
The opportunity.
Yeah.
You too.
Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/STL on air. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.